If you brought a Bible with you this morning, we're going to be picking up where we've left off in this series out of the book of Hebrews in chapter 5, and then we're going to be kind of looking at a big chunk this morning of scripture from chapter 5 all the way actually to chapter 6, verse 12. More of a survey. We're not trying to do verse by verse through the book of Hebrews in this series, but more just kind of getting these big themes that we see. How many of you, did some of you, like when you heard that we're going to be doing Hebrews, you started studying Hebrews? I know there's actually one of the groups that are studying Hebrews. Anybody else, like you've been studying it, reading it a little bit? Man, I have really just appreciated all over again. You know, I've been doing ministry for 20-something years, and I've never done a series just out of the book of Hebrews. And so God is teaching me a whole lot as I've been going through this. And it's been challenging because some of you know, like the themes in Hebrews are a little bit difficult, you know, and some of the phrases, all of the Old Testament references and the themes and the language, I mean, you're having to constantly kind of go back and connect the dots. And so it's been, for me, it's been a bit challenging. But what's cool about that is if you begin to understand a little bit more, this writer of the book of Hebrews, he's connecting to these Jewish Christians, right? And they know when he gives a theme, when he makes a reference, they already know what he's talking about. For us, we got to kind of do a little bit more work and do some study here. But I love this book too. Can I just say this, that and I didn't even know it at the time, you know, like kind of doing what I do and getting a chance to like say, okay, Lord, what do you want us to kind of teach on, or what do you want me to preach from, or what do you want us to study? At the beginning of the year, like I didn't know that, like this is for sure, like, okay, God, this is what you want. But as I've gotten into it, the more that I've been here, the more I've had conversations with so many of you, and the more that I've kind of connected to God's message through this, I think this is perfect for us as a church. And I hope that you see that, and if not, that you see more of it this morning. But here's what I can tell you. The Hebrew Christians, they were struggling, okay? They were struggling with their faith. They were struggling. They were stuck. They were struggling to try and move forward in their life. And a few words that we're going to see from the text this morning, and we're going to kind of glean from the scriptures, is words like sluggish and lazy. They were immature. And we're going to see this, and we're not going to talk as much about it today, but we are in the future, falling away. This idea of drifting away from the Lord. And the warning that the writer of Hebrews, he's been signaling this from day one, and he's been, what he's been saying, it should seem a little bit familiar. You may remember, like us talking about this in some of the other sermons. He's like, "Hey, don't you remember your ancestors who were in the wilderness and they continued to turn away from God?" Right? He's like, "Don't you remember that they wandered away from the Lord? Their hearts were hardened towards God." And he's like, "Hey, don't repeat that." How many of you know, like, you need messages repeated, right? Do you know that? Okay. None of you are raising your hands today, okay? Like, I need stuff repeated to me sometimes. Maybe I'm the only one, and that's okay. But I just do. I just need some things kind of, that's how I learn, is through repetition. And one of the themes, as we've been saying in this book, is Jesus is better, right? Right out of the gates in chapter 1, he's pointing to Jesus in this, you know, God is communicating to his people this new language in the form of his son, Jesus, right? And it's one that, as we talked about in week one, hey, if you want to know what your vision is, that God's vision is for your life, you have to start with Jesus. Anything else is not sufficient, right? You can have the best plan. You can have the best vision. But if Jesus isn't the foundation, if he's not the center of it, then everything else will crumble and fall. It needs to have Jesus as at the center of it, right? And it's easy. One of the things he's saying, it's easy to drift away from that. You know, some of you, you may have said at one point in your life, like, okay, God, Lord, you're what I'm going to build my life on. But then over time, one decision leads to another decision. It hasn't always reflected in that way. And so it's easy to drift from that vision. And so how do we keep focused on what God has created and called us to through Christ? And in the last couple of snow days that we've had, which, man, I really, what a bummer, right? I mean, I was all ready to go last Sunday, and then that snow came in overnight and covered our parking lot, and everybody had done such a good job to help us be ready. But over the last couple of snow days, we talked about these themes of better rest and better revelation. And so let me just kind of summarize. Better rest, meaning that God has created a rest, a rhythm, a routine in our life, and it's one that we participate in here and now through Sabbath, right? Through resting with God, right? That was the whole message and the challenge of that message. It's this idea of drawing near to God, spending time with Him, not just resting physically, although that is a big part of it, but it's resting in the Lord. And it's also one that we look forward to, and we said this, you know, towards the end of the message, as a great reward. There's an eternal rest, right, that we all look forward to as Christians. And if you tuned in last week, and I have to apologize, man. I had a wardrobe malfunction, and I'm not saying that just because today's Super Bowl Sunday, right? Some of you don't get that, right? Thank you. Yeah. No, I did. My collar, my jacket kept getting hung on this microphone, so I was wrestling with that thing the whole time. So it was scratchy, and I apologize. But I attempted to talk about that Jesus is this better revelation. He's this better word, right? Because that's what He kind of moves to. This better revelation of God. He's the living Word, the Bible tells us. That He is the active Word. That's who Jesus is. He doesn't give up on you. He continues to pursue us. He's sharp, like a double-edged sword, ready to help us, but also, if we're not careful, ready to hurt. And it's sharp like a scalpel. The Lord's Word and Jesus Himself, the Holy Spirit, it can do surgery on our souls, on our spirits, on our hearts. And here's the thing. Jesus, as our better rest, as our better revelation, it's intended to help us keep centered as His followers, right? We're talking about this idea that there's a better way to live. And Jesus is it. And how do you keep centered on it? How do you keep focused on that? How do you not drift away like it's so easy for us to do? And so all of that leads us to our topic this morning. And I mentioned at the very beginning that we're in Hebrews chapter 5. I'm just going to kind of jump right into a verse here as we begin. So if you got your thumb there on the page or you're looking at your scripture, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, it says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, He offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save Him from death. And He was heard because of His reverent, the Bible says, submission. And so I was thinking this week, man, you know what we should do? We should pray, right? Let's just stop what we're doing and let's do this. Let's act out what we're reading here and submit to the authority of God's word, the majesty of His word, and let's just pray. So let's do that, okay? God, we just thank You. We thank You for this bread of life. We thank You that we, get a chance to meet together, gather in Your name this morning, Lord. What a privilege, what an honor. We've missed this. And Lord, we just thank You for being here. We thank You for this opportunity to worship and to connect. And the cry of my heart, God, is very simple. I just want to hear from You today. There's not a single tear that falls from our eyes, God, that You don't know about. And there are some here that probably have been shed some tears this week. And so, God, we just come right now openly and honestly before You in Your goodness, in Your mercy, in Your grace, in our time of need. We thank You for times of prayer, for times of confession and repentance, And if that's what you call us to today, Lord, help us to be obedient. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. In his famous book, J.M. Barrie, he titled the book Wendy and Peter, or Peter and Wendy, I should say. And if you know, that's kind of what Disney's Peter Pan was really based on, was this book. But the opening sentence of the book says, all children except one grow up. And if you know the story, or you know, you've like watched the movie of Neverland, and you know, you kind of know that it's meant to be kind of like this magical place, because it's a place where you never have to grow up, right? That's kind of the whole premise behind it. That's why it's Neverland. You never have to grow up. And so the appeal, right, of Peter Pan right out of the gates is that ultimately it's just, hey, if you want to be a child forever, right, then you can come and be a part of Neverland. You don't have to grow up. You don't have to get old. You can avoid all of the adult stuff, right, the adult problems, the real world that we live in. You can avoid bills and taxes, right? You can avoid having to get a job or getting older with all the aches and pains and worries, right? I mean, adult problems, these kind of things are weighty, aren't they? They're heavy sometimes. I mean, kids, you know this. Some of you, this would be a description of you. You had to grow up too fast. Some of the things you had to deal with in life, some of the obstacles that you faced, you had to grow up too quickly, and you kind of lost that childlike innocence that we love so much about our kids, that we protect as parents, right? Because that's what we want to do. We want to try to protect our kids and let them mature at the pace that they should, and allow them to be able to, you know, these harsh realities, right, to deal with those in their proper timing. I mean, it's a part of growing up. It's a part of maturing. It's a part of adulting. It's a part of gaining independence. But sometimes, some people, they tend to get stuck. They never really mature. They look like they get older on the outside, but on the inside are They really just don't grow up. There's a non-clinical term for this, and you have probably heard it before. They call it the Peter Pan syndrome. If it's ever been referenced to you or said in your direction, it's not meant to be a compliment, right? It's a problem. It's this idea that you haven't grown up, that you're still acting like a child. Because if you think about it, when it comes to life, the goal of life, all of life, is about growing up. It's about maturing. It's about, the aim, if we're being honest, right, is that we need to become an adult. We need to act like an adult. And so sometimes we see others in our lives, right, and you know, right, I bet some of you are already thinking, like some of the people in your life, you're like, they need to hear this message, right? They need to read the scripture that we're going to be reading today. Don't look at them right now, by the way. Don't nudge them. Don't call them out. That's not what we're trying to do this morning. But the truth is, we all know people, right, in our lives that they need to grow up. They need to mature. And here's the thing. It can actually be true when it comes to our faith, when it comes to our spiritual life. People can be immature. They can have what I would call a Peter Pan faith. And unfortunately, I see it far too often. And this is in part the thrust behind this admonition that we're going to read here in the book of Hebrews this morning. These Christians are struggling. And it's not because they are new to faith. You know, I mean, that's one thing, right? And if that were the case, really and truly, if you're brand new to faith, right, when somebody becomes a Christian, when somebody's baptized, I mean, it's common practice. You understand that comes with the territory. You got to learn. You got to grow. I mean, there's no problem with understanding that spiritual growth is a process, right? That once you get saved, God continues to work that in and through your heart and in and through your life. There's a lot of growing up to do, but the problem is what happens when you don't grow? What happens when you get stuck? What happens when you know that you need you know, to be different from the world around you in which you live, right? But the world in which you live is a little bit hostile to what you believe. It may be hostile to your faith. How many of you know this Christian thing, this following Jesus thing? It's not easy, right? You know that? Thank you, Keith. Yeah. It's not easy. This Christian thing, this following Jesus thing, it's not easy. And sometimes I think that some people, when they kind of sign up for this, they think to themselves, well, Jesus is going to help me, you know, get rid of all my problems. How many know that's not true? In fact, we could say in many ways, he not only doesn't help your problems go away, he will help you get through those problems, but the fake news is that your problems won't somehow vanish when you come to Jesus, but instead, I still have 99 problems, but Jesus ain't one of them, right? Does that make sense? In fact, much of the time, because of what we believe, the truth of God's word is that it stands in direct opposition to some of the lies of the world. It actually creates more tension in life. Have you felt that? Yeah, when it comes to your Christian life, when it comes to your faith, but get this, this is part of the aim of Hebrews. It's not just meant to somehow say, hey, here's an escape button. But it's rather meant to strengthen us. It's meant to encourage us. Not that your problems or your pain or your suffering, all that's going to go away, but unfortunately, that's just life. Okay, so that's just growing up. But here's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. He's like, but Jesus, listen, he's greater. Right? Isn't that good news? Like, Jesus is greater. I don't care what problem that you're facing, Jesus is greater. I don't care what situation seems so difficult or so unreasonable or that you can't make it through. Jesus is better. He's a better prophet. He's a better priest. He's a better king. Better than this guy by the name of Melchizedek. Now, we're not going to get into depth into Melchizedek at all in this series. We are going to cover him a little bit next week, but how many of you ever read the name Melchizedek before? I had a friend in Bible college. That's why I nicknamed him. Long story, but anyway, we're going to talk about it a little bit next week, okay? But that's going to be for your own study. You're going to have to get into the Word, do a little bit on that on your end. But Jesus, he's better. He's the better priest. He's a better rest. He's a better Word. And so the question is, in your life right now, if you're feeling discouraged, can I just speak to some of you here? If you're feeling discouraged, if you're feeling a little bit depressed, if your anxiety, like you're thinking to yourself, okay, my anxiety level is like way up here right now, right? I'm a little bit worried. I look at the world. This world is hostile right now, right? It's hostile in politics. It's hostile in the economy. And so here's my question, okay? What are you focused on? Because the writer of Hebrews is going to challenge you in this way. What are you focused on? Who or what's the object of your hope and your faith? Because if it's politics, if it's the economy, if it's anyone else other than Jesus, it's quite frankly, it's just not good enough. It's not better. Jesus is better. We need to grow up. In fact, let's read a little bit this here, beginning in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, because that's kind of what he's going to be saying. Look there at verse 11. He says, we have much to say about this, right? So he's about to unload here a little bit. He says, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. And it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. You see, the writer here, he wants to serve them this full course meal, right? You know, he's like, I got this great meal planned here. I'm going to give you this bread of life, the nourishment of God's word. It's going to nourish your soul, but there's something wrong, right? There's a problem, and the problem is they're not trying to understand anymore, right? So he kind of just says it right here, right out of the gates. He's like, you've become dull in your understanding, in your hearing. And this isn't anything new, by the way. Like, this is not some revelation from the Lord. It's part of the warning that he's kind of been saying from the beginning. He's like, you're allowing your hearts to become hardened towards the Lord, towards the Holy Spirit. You're allowing yourself to kind of drift away from God more and more and more. You're dull in your hearing. I was just having a conversation this week with someone in the office, and they were talking about, you know, they're actually talking about me because I don't hear well. And some of you know that, and so it's okay. But I honestly have trouble hearing. Ever since I was a kid, I would have all these ear infections, and so I'd have to go and get medicine, and they would have to put tubes in my ear, and it's just a whole big thing. But over time, it actually hurt my hearing, and so nowadays, sometimes somebody's talking to me, I'm like, huh, what? You know, and I have to have them repeat themselves. Drives my wife crazy. I tell her sometimes it's her speaking voice that I don't hear, right? My mom calls that selective hearing, right? So she always said I had that. But I'm a little bit dull of hearing. In all honesty, it's kind of who I am. But you know when that's a real problem? When there's a warning of some kind that I need to hear or pay attention to, right? Hey, Will, don't step on the ice, right? You're going to fall. Or you know, hey, be careful, there's a cliff there. Don't step over the edge, right? When there's a warning and I don't hear that, that becomes a problem. And so to be clear, here's what I want you to know. These first hearers in Hebrews, right, these first readers here, it was not an actual hearing problem that they had. The word for dull here is actually translated sluggish. They had become sluggish in their hearing. They knew about Jesus. They had heard about Jesus. They had even responded to him at one point in their faith and obedience to Christ, right? They've been baptized into Christ. But the problem now is that they are tuning him out. They're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit. They're not resting in Jesus' presence and in his word. And they've become, I mean, these kinds of things, right? Preaching and teaching has become more white noise. My wife, she suffers from tinnitus. Some of you may have that in your life as well, where you have a little bit of ringing in your ear, and where it's the most difficult is when everything is silent, right? That's when it's the loudest. And so one of the things that we started doing, it's been a long time now, but we started listening to brown noise at nighttime. To help kind of drown out the ringing in the ear. And it's supposed to help you with your sleep. Did any of you do brown noise? Like, that's your thing? Okay, hey, more activity. I like this. More raising of the hands. I'm not sure what that says about our sleep, but brown noise, yeah, it's a thing, right? It's a thing. And so when we first started doing it, like, I couldn't get into it because, you know, the problem was I was listening to the brown noise. Yeah, so you're laughing, right? That's not what you're supposed to do, right? The idea of brown noise is supposed to drown out everything else around you and just kind of help you get into a deeper level of sleep. The problem is I was listening to it, and so I was having trouble sleeping. But here's the deal. When it comes to spiritual immaturity, one of the key signs is this disconnect between the message of God and the truth that he's communicating to us with versus our response to that message or to that truth. So instead of hearing it, instead of understanding it, instead of acting, it becomes more of something that we just put off or put in the background. It becomes background noise. I get so irritated. You know, I usually keep my cell phone on me, by the way, up here in case there's some, like, a message that somebody needs to communicate to me or anything like that. And so don't be, like, pranking me on Sunday mornings with this, right? I've had people do that before. So try not to say, I'm going to prank Will this morning and text him or whatever. But I actually do, for various reasons, I keep my cell phone. But one of the things that I always do, and you may be like me, I all the notifications that I get on all the time from everything, I will silence them, right? I keep my phone pretty much on vibrate all the time, and all these different, you know, notifications, I will silence. And I wonder how many of us have silenced the notifications of the Holy Spirit in our life. And there's some warnings, there's some concerns, there may be some areas of conviction. Instead of paying attention, instead of doing or acting on those things, we have silenced them. Pushing them down, pushing them away. That's what I think the writer of Hebrews is really communicating here. And again, it's not anything new, right? If you can think to the book of Revelation, when Jesus is writing a letter to the churches, he says over and over and over again, whoever has ears, you know what he says? Let them hear. Let them hear. Let them hear what the Spirit has to say. And so here's the first part, and since today is Super Bowl Sunday, in your bulletin, we're calling it God's Game Plan for Spiritual Growth. Here's kind of the first principle. We're going to go through these really quickly. First principle, if you will, is God's game plan begins with an honest spiritual evaluation, and that's what we've been doing. An honest spiritual evaluation. That's what we see here in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. He says, in fact, by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word over and over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Notice here, I want you to notice, this isn't about a lack of understanding, right? In other words, it's not about having not being taught, or it's not about knowing Jesus or knowing the Word of God. The question when it comes to their maturity is not about substance, it's really about action. And this is key. Hear me on this. If you want to write down where it says key in there, it's like, here's a question. Are you communicating and sharing what you know? Right? Are you communicating and sharing, in the case of Jesus, who you know? You see, the thing with babies is all they know to do is receive or take. And you may see I've got me a baby bottle, a sipper actually, on display up here. So this is my living illustration of what we're talking about here. But that's what babies do. That's what they're supposed to do. Babies need milk. They need us to give them the substance they need, right? In fact, I can remember my wife and I, as we were with both of our boys, at one point we were teaching them how to hold their own bottles, right? You know, because that's a part of that, right? It's like, okay. And so they kind of begin to kind of feed themselves. But here's the point when drinking milk, right? When it comes to, when that's not enough anymore, there comes a point, I would say, in every single child's life when it's not cute to continue to drink milk, right? They need food. They need sustenance, right? My mom, every time when our kids, when she thought they were big enough they could gum something to death or eat it, right? She was stuffing it in their mouth, right? But there comes a point where a child has to go from milk and they have to start eating solid food where it's not cute anymore, right? And so there's this point when it comes to spiritual maturity when it's time to do the same, where it's time to get off the bottle and eat solid food. Some of you know because I got, you know, birthday messages on Facebook. That's how I know everybody's birthday, by the way. I can't ever remember anybody's, but Facebook, you know, is a reminder. But my birthday was yesterday, and so my family and I, we went out to eat. And I'm like you. One of my favorite meals when I go out to eat is to order steak, right? And so I did. We went to Colton's, and I got a 12-ounce ribeye, man. It wasn't ribeye, it was a New York strip steak. It was so good. And I was thinking about that. There comes a point as an adult, right, where it's not cool to eat baby food anymore, right? Like, there comes a point as an adult where it's not good to be drinking out of a sippy cup anymore, right? It's not socially acceptable, right? There comes a point in spiritual maturity when it's time to eat solid food, to be meat eaters, to be spiritual grown-ups, to be applying your faith in real-life situations and engaging in this hostile world that we live in when it comes to the truth of God's word and you living out that truth through your life. engaging with the Holy Spirit and with Jesus and following him with your life, not hiding or shrinking back when it comes to your faith, not pointing fingers or blaming everybody around you for your lack of faith or lack of growth. You see, so much of maturity is not about what you know, and please hear me on this, because some of us are way overeducated when it comes to the truth of the Bible, when it comes to the truth of God's word. It's not so much about what you know or how much you know. In fact, the prophets in the Old Testament were constantly telling the people of God, hey, you honor God with your lips, but your hearts are so far away from him. In other words, immaturity is lip service, where maturity is faith in action. James, in the book of James, chapter 2, verse 18, he says, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. He says, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You see, that's maturity. And it leads us to this second point here. God's game plan calls us to move forward. Look there at Hebrews once again, chapter 6, verse 1. He says, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and to be taking forward towards maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from the acts that lead to death and the faith in God, instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment, and God permitting, we will do so. We will move forward. You see, spiritual maturity is about moving forward in your faith. It's not about being stagnant. And so here's a question. If you want to know a key question to this, here's a question. Are you in the same place, spiritually speaking, that you were a year ago? And be honest. Are you in the same place that you were, spiritually speaking, 6 months ago? You know, in football, I've been thinking about that since today's, you know, Super Bowl Sunday. In football, one of the things they teach running backs, wide receivers, a lot of people who play offense in football, one of the things they teach them is that you always keep your legs or your feet moving, right? Always going, always churning. You know why? Because you're always supposed to be advancing. You're always supposed to be moving forward. And if you fall, you fall which way? Forward, not backwards. This is what I think this passage is teaching us. And you don't need any other example other than that of Jesus. He was the perfect example. You may remember last week, if you were watching online, in Hebrews chapter 4, those last few verses of that chapter are so very good. It says, therefore, since we have this great high priest who is talking about Jesus, right, who ascended into heaven, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable, it says, to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are. But the Bible says, yet did not sin. So let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find the grace that we need to help us in our time of need. You see, Jesus is our example of spiritual maturity. He's done this perfectly. Perfectly. And maturity doesn't mean that you somehow stop being tempted to sin, but rather when you are tempted, you do not take matters into your own hands and just try harder. Some of you do that. How's that working out for you? But you rather submit to Jesus. That's maturity. You lean in to Jesus and trust him. You see, the essence of sin, by the way, and I don't have a lot of time to talk about this, I'll just say this. The essence of sin is about taking. Right? Think about it. When it comes to pride, when it comes to greed, when it comes to lust, it's always about taking what you want, when you want it, how you want it. The way you fight temptation is you give in and submit yourself to Jesus' authority, God's authority in your life, where you don't just take, but you receive what you need from the Lord to fight whatever that temptation is. That's how you move forward. And that leads us to point number three. If you write this down, God's game plan helps warn us of risks and reminds us of what is at stake. It warns us of the risk and reminds us of what is at stake. We don't have time to read this morning. I knew this was going to be too much for us to kind of to do in one setting. But in Hebrews chapter 6, if you look there at verses 4 through 8, that's what it's doing. It's warning us and reminding us. And the first warning is, we're going to talk about this more, this idea of drifting away. So the first warning is that. It's like, you got to be careful, right? That you don't drift away from the Lord in your life. And then it points to this idea of reminding us of what's important. And you look there at verse 7, it says, "For the ground that drinks the rain, which often falls upon it, and brings forth vegetation useful for those whose sake it is also tilled, receives a blessing from God. But if it yields thorns and thistles, it's not worth anything. It's worthless. And it's close to being cursed. And in the end is being burned." You see, there's this risk of falling away and drifting from God, but there's this reminder about the fruit of the Holy Spirit that needs to be produced in your heart and life. That's this vegetation that it's talking about. And you know the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Some of you: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I mean, these things, those aren't things that you just work harder at. Those are things that the Holy Spirit does in and through your heart and your life. And here's what that's supposed to look like. And Ephesians, again, we don't have time, but I want you to take reference of this. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. It's so good about this idea of maturity and no longer being infants and tossed back and forth by the waves of life and blown here and there by every kind of bad teaching or cunning and craftiness of people in their speech, their scheming, right? Because here's the thing, if you're not mature, you're going to allow that to happen. And so one of the admonitions for me as a minister here and for us as a church is, man, we have to grow up. We got to start eating this meat of God's word and become mature into the head of Christ, who the whole body, Ephesians says, is joined together. And then finally, point number 4 there. God's plan is to finish what he started. I'm going to ask our worship team, if you guys would, come on up. If you look there in the Bible, this last verse, last couple of verses here, verses 9 through 12, here's what it tells us, okay? It says, "Beloved, we are convinced of better things," right? Remember, what's the theme of the series? Better. "We are convinced of better things concerning you and the things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work." Some of you have been working, you're thinking, "God, are you paying attention?" God's like, "Yeah, I'm paying attention." And he says, "In the love in which you have shown towards his name, and having ministered and still ministering to the saints, and we desire that each of you should show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end." Can I just tell you, what God began in you, the Bible promises he will carry it on to completion. Amen? Some of you are thinking, "Man, I don't know. Will, I mean, I've asked these questions this morning. I don't know. I don't know what God is doing. I can't really figure it out. I know that he began a good work, but sometimes it just don't feel like he's still working." I think we need to trust, and we're going to talk more about this as we get into God's promises. We need to trust that God is bigger. He's better. And what he has for you is better than anything you can think or imagine. And God's game plan for you is for you to mature. It's for you to grow up in yourself. In fact, the Bible talks about this idea of working out your salvation with fear and trembling. You know what that means? It doesn't mean that you earn your salvation. It just means that you grow up. Work is a blessing. We get an opportunity to work with Jesus in our hearts and our lives and to do the things that through faith and obedience we know we're supposed to do. And so my call to you today, and so In fact, let's go ahead, and if you would, just go ahead and stand with me, okay? My call for us today is, and it's a hard word, I know, I get it. Some of us this morning, you know, we may have been wrestling from the beginning with this conversation of immaturity, right? And going from milk, right, to meat. Going from immaturity to growing up in Christ. But that's a call to us as a church. And you may be here this morning and you've been struggling with that. We're going to have, I'm going to ask our prayer team, if you guys would come forward. And I love this time, by the way, of invitation, because remember I told you at the beginning, this is just about being open and honest, right? And so when we get to this part of our services, before we close and go on to other things throughout our day, this is just a time right now just to get open and honest with the Lord. That's it. There's nothing else right now that should be on your thoughts or your agenda other than just to say, okay, God, here I am. What do you want? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to respond?